Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostrick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two grad student athletes that will sit down with Seton Hall athletes to get to know them more on a personal level. We're going to talk to them about their athletic career, academic goals, and what it's like being a part of the Seton Hall community. We are excited to do this across the year as we touch into each sports community. Make sure you go follow us on the Pirates Overboard Instagram page to get the latest news on upcoming guests and highlights from shows previously. So Jonathan, who are we talking to today?
Leah Istanbuli competes in the sprint freestyle on the women's swim and dive team, where she is a three-time All Big East member. Additionally, academically speaking, she's also a three-time Big East academic member and will graduate with a Bachelor's of Science in Financial Mathematics this upcoming May. Wow. Leah, hailing from Danbury, Connecticut, has been all over the country and all over the world for that matter, swimming for the Lebanese national team even. We are excited to get to learning and sharing all about her background and her story. Hard to put all what Leah does into words. She does it all from the classroom and the community and in and out of the pool. So we are stoked to have Leah on tonight. So without further ado, your women's swim and dive captain and student athlete advisory committee president, Leah Istanbuli.
Hey guys.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So Jonathan, I have something that's burning on my mind now that I need to get answered. So I found out today, earlier today, around noon-ish, I was sitting with Walker, and we were talking back and forth about the podcast, and I found out today, you have a citizenship to Australia, but you've never been. What's with that? Talk to us about that.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm a citizen of Lebanon, because both of my parents were born there, but people are always confused at why I have that Australian citizenship, but I've never been, so... My dad lived there for a number of years, and, you know, because he also has a citizenship, he could give it to his children, or we're able to get it as well. So he thought, why not? We stood in line, we got it, and now I can say I'm a citizen there. So
do you have any plans of going anytime soon?
100%.
Okay,
definitely.
Okay, good, because you got to use it. You can't just say, oh, I have a citizenship to Australia.
You got
to
get the accent when you go, too. Act like you've been there the whole time.
And I have cousins there. I have family, but I feel kind of fake when... You know, I bring it up, and they're like, oh, so how is it? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad that burning question of mine has now been answered, so I now feel better. How are you? It's a Friday night, swim meet tomorrow. What's your mindset going into tomorrow, and just how have you been in total?
I have been great. It's been a really busy semester already, and, you know, we have the meet tomorrow against Monmouth. We're very excited about that. It's the first home meet. And I'm just really excited to be here. I'm a big fan of this podcast.
Ooh,
this is your 11th episode now, so yeah. I'm very honored to be a guest. So thanks for having me on.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on. So it's our first home meet of the season. What is the most exciting thing about being swimming at home here?
Gosh, I just love our pool. So, I mean, our first meet was at Ryder, and then, you know, second Bucknell. There's just something different about swimming in the same pool, competing in the same pool that we practice in every day. And with that, we have our walkout video, our hype video that was just created, and, you know, walking out of the locker rooms together and doing that home meet cheer. And, you know, this is also, this first meet is our alumni meet, and it's commemorating Marin Luhid, who was a women's, she was part of the swim team, and she passed away recently. So this is in honor of her. So it's going to be a really good meet, and very excited.
I'm so hyped for the atmosphere, because usually we're our October our schedule in October. I talked about it briefly with Ben's episode. We're usually home maybe the third week in October, maybe the second. This is a long wait for us to be home and like being on the road for so much. So I think the alumni that have been through here are really excited for this meet to see what the program's looking like for this upcoming season. I know the parents are especially excited, because we have some of the greatest fans that travel with us wherever we go, but a home meet for them is just like a home meet for us. So they're definitely excited about that. Talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing off the Bucknell invite. It was a crazy long day. We were there from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Long hours. But so talk to us a little bit about that. What was that experience like?
So Bucknell invite, it was actually an unscored meet. So it didn't come out with points and winners, like which team was on top. And because of that, we were able to be in more events than we normally would. So usually we would be in You know, you could be two relays, two individual events. This was unlimited, so we could do as many as we want.
Okay.
And because of that, a lot of us swam off events. Mm-hmm. I did two. I think I swam the 100 butterfly, my worst strokes, butterfly. But it was fun, and it was stress-free, an exciting way to, you know, see what we've got in us, and also, you know, swim those off events and mm-hmm. see like what we could do. And it was a really good meet.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was a really cool facility. Like, you know, you have those fields or those stadiums that you go to. You're like, oh, check that one off the list. Like, I've heard a lot about Bucknell,
yeah.
And why is it so cool? Why does it make you so fast? Like, you just feel a different like kind of energy mm-hmm. with it. You look at the record board, it's all the University of Navy records, like University of Army records, and the pool records there.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's a kind of like a cool, it's like just a cool place to be.
Sure.
Speaking of the unlimited amount, we talked about Kevin Carey before coming on.
Right.
He swam everything.
Phenomenal.
And phenomenally. He swam.
Shout out to Kev. Damn.
Two relays, I think. The 400 IM, the 500 free, the 200 free, and the 100 breast, all in one day.
Such a talented swimmer, and he's a great attitude throughout the entire mm-hmm. meet, too. So it's just energizing to be around him.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and awesome. It was just cool. Like, you'd get to the warm down pool. He's like, oh, my gosh, swim another one. And we're like, you signed up for this, buddy.
Yeah.
Go get him, Tiger. You got it.
So it was a really nice pool, though.
Yes.
One of the most beautiful facilities I've been to. So
that's really neat. And I don't even know someone like you guys do, obviously, but just listing off six events seems like a lot. Makes me tired even saying that. So
it's
that's
like,
awesome.
Even it's like a doubleheader.
Okay.
Like day, like afternoon night doubleheader, not
okay.
day night doubleheader.
Yeah.
Like afternoon night. It was kind of insane to watch. So, what were some of the things that you think the team needs to do to kind of improve upon? Like we talked about a short while ago about being our first home meet next week. Like, what were some things that this week that as a team you guys kind of worked on?
So I think especially for dual meets, they're long. We wake up early, whether it's a home meet or not. If it's not, we take the bus ride there. We're doing dynamic warm-up, stretching, long warm-up. It's just a long day. Mm-hmm. And something that's hard, I mean, especially for myself, is once we hit that halfway point, we have, you know, diving break, watching our amazing divers, you kind of start to lose a little bit of energy, and we're trying to be cheering, loud. It's a fun, competitive environment, but it's a lot of swimming, and it's a lot mm-hmm. of time standing, cheering, and being present. So something that I've been trying to work on and, you know, getting the girls, the whole team to be better at is keeping the energy up after that halfway point in the meet. And that's, I mean, it's even hard for myself. So just noticing, you know, my energy and, you know, if I'm tired, I'm usually cold at these meets, just like trying to put that past me and be like, hey, like we're at the halfway point. Don't just show up. Let's finish out strong. And,
right.
you know, getting in that mentality kind of helps me, you know, holding myself accountable for that standard mm-hmm. and being like, hey, guys, let's go. You know, whether we have to do a halfway mid-meet speech or something like that, you know, just trying to bring the energy back up. So I think, you know, we've been working on it, and I'm looking forward to, especially this being a home meet, mm-hmm. the energy staying up the whole time.
Awesome.
Well, two things. One, we won't have to worry about being cold tomorrow. It's going to be 82 degrees tomorrow outside.
Oh,
it's going to be
goodness.
Beautiful outside. So anybody outside, go enjoy the day. But two, yes, you and the other five captains have made it a point of emphasis of like, we got to get up and go. So I think you guys kind of touched upon it earlier in the year. It's important for a Big East time. I want to get your kind of opinion on this. When we get to Big East, that's a four-day grueling day-night prelim final weekend. And energy is key, as
right.
in any sport. So talk to
100%.
Us about how we as a team, the swim team specifically, can translate that energy from a Saturday afternoon dual meet to Big East.
Yeah. I think just learning from each of these dual meets and mid-season that we're going to have leading up to Big East and, you know, noticing what we're good at, like how good we are with keeping the energy up, as well as, you know, we do some, like, team bonding stuff, talking about, hey, what's going to make us have the best Big East? How can we go in with the best mentality? But what I think it really comes down to is going in with the mindset, we're not just here to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, oh, like showing up's 80% of the battle. It's like 1%. It's half a percent. You know, you have to show up. Student athlete, you have to go to practice. You have to go to class. Like, you have to compete. So, you know, doing more than just showing up and getting in the mentality of, we're so grateful to be here at Big East. This is like an amazing opportunity for all of us. And, you know, just going in with, I'm very excited. I've worked my, you know, worked this entire year to be here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do more than just show up. Put full effort into everything that we're doing. Cheering, standing up, like in between sessions, lunch, just trying to keep it going.
100%. Yeah. And wise words from Leia here in terms of like the looking more introspectively, like how we're grateful to be here. Mm-hmm. And we talked about with Anne, you talked about with a lot of student athletes that we have on, like the position that we're in being Division One student athletes for you guys to swim, you know, baseball and all the other sports we have here, like what a cool opportunity it is. And sometimes it does stink, like you guys are up early in the freezing cold, like walking to the rec at 6 a.m. wherever it is to mm-hmm. swim. But then you have the opportunity to be your teammates on competition days. And I wanted to kind of link this back into the energy, how you see like in football, maybe soccer, like how important the energy is. And from the outside looking in, me not being a non-swimmer, it's like, how important like is energy? Like, I don't really understand like how is energy like important. But when I came to a meet, I was like, they're all on the pool deck cheering each other on. And if you have that versus the other team doesn't, like that sways momentum mm-hmm. in some ways. Like the energy that you have amongst your team is like kind of like electricity in some ways. That's the way I kind of view it. You kind of bring you guys up. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yeah, it makes such a big difference. Like, you can immediately tell if the energy is there or not, like, as soon as you walk on the pool deck.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important, even for myself, having a bad day, I can't let that affect the mm-hmm. temperature of the room,
mm.
you know?
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. And, like, it starts from that first two medley relay. I think that's probably the most exciting race of the afternoon. It's the first race of the afternoon, both on the men's and women's side, and they're usually the closest races. So having that momentum come up and the let's go Pirates chance after every win and the making sure you're getting behind everybody, good race or bad, mm-hmm. like it's vital because you're swimming at least four events in a day. It's kind of like you having four at bats in a day. Like if you do bad, let's say on that medley relay that you're on, or maybe that you're in the 1,000 early on, mm-hmm. okay, I have to swim a 500 in maybe an hour and a half or so. I got to focus on that.
Yeah.
Like, I got to focus on that aspect of like, okay, how can I improve this event so that I can score some points and help us get through the day?
Yeah, and with being like a team sport as swim is, as baseball is, there's going to be times, instances where you talk about accountability, mm-hmm. how one person might be a little bit down, and if you can kind of bring that energy to them, mm-hmm. and then that picks them back up, and they'll pick someone else back up, and that kind of like keeps on going, and kind of that's the beauty of being a team sport.
Yeah.
And people don't really see that probably a swim on the surface. Like, oh, it's just you swimming in the pool. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, there's a whole other aspect that if you go to a swim meet, so go to swim meets, everyone.
Yeah.
There's a whole other aspect that you see when you're on the pool that everyone cheering each other on.
Definitely, yeah. And, I mean, on the topic of accountability, that's something we really, you know, wanted to be a big focus for us this year, especially as a women's team. And I remember in the beginning of the year, we had a goal meeting of what do we want to come out of this year? Like, how do we want to place? What are some things that are important to us? And the topic of accountability was a really big one. And I kind of said, hey, guys, let's work on this. I want you to call me out. Leia, you need to pick up the energy. I know you're not feeling so well, this, that. Like, I want you to hold me to the same standard. And let's hold ourselves to that same standard because mm-hmm. I want you to be better. You want me to be better. Let's share that culture. And it's been going well. I mean, especially practicing that accountability at practices, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, I want you to tell me, hey, pick it up. You're not working as hard as you should be or putting the max amount of effort you should into this set. So, and it's been good. Like, I need someone on me like that. And I think us all being there for each other in that way has been mm-hmm. great.
Wow, that's a really cool thing. Was that in the beginning of the year you guys had that meeting, the women's swim team?
Yeah, so we typically do it, like, we do little meetings, team bonding stuff. But beginning of the year, women's team, we do a goal meeting. So what we liked about last season, what are some things we want to change, and our big focus for this year. And so it's been good.
And the part you said that you're humble enough to realize, like, hey, if you see me as one of the captains or the captain, I don't know, is mm-hmm. there the captains on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. As one of the captains, to if I'm not up to the standard and you see that, mm-hmm. like, it doesn't matter if you're a sophomore or junior or whatever, like, please tell me, because, like, we're all in this together. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, I'm up here, I'm always going to be here. It's like, you have other people that be like, hey, like, we all are in this together. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. If we usually pick them up, we just got to pick them up.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing with, you know, trying to be a leader, captain, and preaching something. I need you to hold me to that standard, too.
Mm-hmm. Respect.
Of course, I'm always going to try and be, you know, working my hardest and holding you guys accountable. But I don't care. Freshman, you know, tell me if mm-hmm. you see me not on my game.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I've seen it on deck each and every day, and it's been awesome to see. So talk to us about before Seton Hall. What was your club experience like before coming to Seton Hall?
Sure. So I swam regional YMCA of Western Connecticut since I was 10 years old. So I was, long story short, born in California, moved to Michigan, and when I was 9 or 10, I moved to Connecticut. And I have family in all three states, but because of my dad's job, that's where we moved. And so when I moved to Connecticut, joined that club team and swam with them until I was a senior in high school. And I never did high school sports. It didn't work out with, you know, my high school being able to train with my club team. We didn't have as competitive as a swim program in the high school, so I didn't get that high school sports experience. And so, but I mean, I had a great experience on the club team, developed, made some best friends for life, and, you know, still have them till this day. So
awesome.
It was really cool. But, you know, coming to college, I know people have that high school sports experience and you get that more of a team aspect.
Right.
I never had that. So coming in my freshman year at Seton Hall, it was like, wow, this is really, really fun.
Right.
So
I got to talk to Coach Jason of your old Y team, and he talked to me about, he said, Leia's the best. She's always welcome here at Brookfield. Very polite and considerate person. She's dedicated and hardworking. She preferred the sprint type workouts over aerobic foundation workouts.
Yeah.
But one of the stories he wanted you to tell us was your first sectional experience. How was that? What went into that? Because I know my first sectional experience, nerve-wracking. And sectionals, for all you out there, it's basically, think of it as multiple states coming together to swim a prelim final meet. It's kind of like your championship level at that club level. A lot of fast swimmers. Depending on your section. So you were actually at my sectionals up in Ithaca. So at some point we crossed paths and didn't even know it. But I just remember that experience being so stressful, especially your first one, because you're like, oh, I know that person. They're fast.
Yeah.
Oh, that person's fast. And like, you're lucky to make it back to finals. So talk to us about like your first sectional experience. Was there any like fun memories swimming wise that you can remember?
Wow. So you really talked to my coach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We do research.
We did the research.
Don't
we?
More. I got loads of details here.
He's great. He's my favorite person ever. So, oh wow, my first sectionals. That's a while ago. Funny story. I don't know if you know Amelia Wooten. She was a senior here on the swim team when I was a freshman. We swam together on the club team.
Oh,
so
there we go.
My
no
first
way.
Sectionals was with her, and so it was very cool to experience that with her. And this is so funny. I remember I didn't even have a sectional cut.
Mm.
So you need time standards to attend certain meets.
Got it.
And so I came as a relay swimmer. And they wanted me to, you know, hit a certain time in my 50-yard freestyle. And I just wasn't getting at it. So I'm a sprinter. I do the short stuff, 50, 100. And, yeah, I mean, I had swam multiple races throughout the year. Still hadn't hit that time. And my coach was like, we want to bring you. We're going to bring you. You're going to swim the relay. You're going to get that time. And so, yeah, a little nerve-wracking, and it's such a short race, the 50 freestyle, and I just remembered I wanted to break this certain time, and I ended up doing it. And I only came. I swam a relay. I did a couple of time trials, but coming as a relay swimmer, it was fun. Yeah, you know, I didn't make any of the individual times on my own, but, you know, that allowed me to focus on being a good teammate, supporting my friends there, and yeah, just an interesting first experience.
Did it kind of like jump spark kind of going to sectionals further on? Because what year was that first sectional meet for you?
I think I was in eighth grade.
Okay.
So I'm not
it's
exactly
like spark
sure
a little bit of motivation for you to get
yeah.
like those individual cuts and stuff.
Definitely.
Like that.
So after that, I had gotten more of my own individual cuts as well as Y National times, which was, I was on a YMCA club team, so there was this big, Y Nationals was the big meet we went to. So yeah, later on after that, I think a year or two after, I started to get my own cuts, which was nice, you know, to come not just to swim relays, but it was definitely a special experience, and I won't forget it because my teammate who, you know, Amelia, who was here when I was a freshman, we had that together, and we were on the same relay, so you know, swimming that and, you know, looking up, seeing that time that I finally got, it was great.
So speaking of Y Nationals, I also talked to one of your closest friends from home, Amanda Nee, and she talked to me about your trips on YMCA Nationals. She specifically said one story. So during your team travel, your phone shattered at a rest stop and you had to go to a Verizon store.
Bad memories.
What was that about?
You talked to everyone.
We talked to everybody.
She's amazing. I love her. Yeah, so I don't remember what year this was. I might have been a junior in high school, but yeah, I think I had bought a new phone case maybe, and we were driving to, it might have been Greensboro, mm-hmm. North Carolina, or Maryland, somewhere, and yeah, I was just walking into a rest stop. I guess my phone case had been off of my phone, and like, you know, someone was just walking by me. I brushed my hand against someone and completely dropped my phone on the ground, completely shattered.
You wouldn't think
that when your phone cracks, it just stops working. So, yeah.
The world ended right there.
The world ended. Yeah, couldn't get any messages. It would play music still, too.
Oh,
which is
that's huge.
Lovely, yeah.
Hey, you just need music on the bus,
oh
right?
My
you, don't,
gosh.
You don't need to talk to anybody. No games.
It was so funny. It would just randomly start playing music. I wouldn't even be able to turn it off. The screen wouldn't let me touch. So.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny that she brought that up.
Yeah, that was one of the stories. That was the one of the stories she brought up. There's a few more I might break out later.
Oh my
but
goodness.
You have a great family. I was able to stop by her house and meet her family at one point. Coming back from Saratoga, my class would do a trip up to Taylor Patner's house to Saratoga, be with their family for a weekend. And on one of the trips, we got to meet her entire family. They've been around the Seton Hall swim community all 4 years now. So what were some of the impacts your family have had on your swimming career, specifically really before club?
Sure. So I remember I got in the water at a really early age, like a year old. I would play with my dad in the pool all the time. But I actually didn't start competitive swimming until I was 10, which isn't too late, but it's later than most who start, you know, that competitive swimming.
Yeah.
And at first, it was just fun for me because before I started USA Swimming, I did park and rec, so outdoor summer league when I lived in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun. This was the first sport that I felt I'm good at because I don't have hand-eye, foot-eye coordination. I can't run. So, you know, I tried them all, as most do growing up. And, yeah, this was the one that stuck with me, and it was fun. I liked the camaraderie, making friends, and, like, the fun competitive aspect of it. So this is what stuck for me. And growing up, I'm very grateful. I had a great support system, both my parents. My younger sister actually swims. She's 12 years old. And my brother plays soccer. He's a freshman right now at Boston College playing soccer.
Awesome.
He's redshirting. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL.
Oh,
but
sorry
just,
to hear that.
Yeah. But it's a big sports family, and they've all supported me really well through this. And, you know, been there for me when, you know, when it started to get – it's hard to motivate myself sometimes. Swim is a sport – it's pretty black and white, you know, your timed show. So you – do good or you don't. You know, it's not as clear cut as that, but the times tell all. It's not very much like soccer where you have someone watching you to base skill. So,
Speaking of which, of you two siblings, you are the oldest in your family. So, have you given them any advice to as they continue their athletic careers?
Yeah. So, I'm really close with both of my siblings. So, Danny, my brother, he is 2 years younger than me. So, he's 18, about to be 19. And Julia is 12. So she swims, he plays soccer. One thing I've been trying to stress to them both, because, you know, she's pretty competitive with it as well, my younger sister, is, gosh, to just have fun with it. If I could go back and talk to my 12, 10, 12, 14-year-old self, I would just say, hey, it's going to be okay. You can chill out and just have a little fun with it. Because, you know, I'm hard on myself, but I feel... especially when I was younger, it was very hard on myself. You know, why am I not getting those times? Why am I not doing that? And comparison, you know, thief of joy.
Of course.
So hard swimming growing up. And I'm obviously not the most talented in the pool, but I really had to learn I need to make this, you know, fun. If it's a big part of my life, my identity. So, you know, I always tell them, try and have fun with it. You know, let loose. It's not your entire life, but... you know, it's something, it's a big part of your life, so just try and have fun.
I think Ange said that. I know we referenced Ange's episode a lot. Shout out to Ange. He was saying the biggest thing for youth coaches when they go to, like, when you're coaching, like, a youth team, make it fun. Like, make it fun. Because they're going to get older and it's become more of like a job, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're swimming or you're doing baseball, soccer, whatever college sport you do, you have to love it. You're doing it so much, you have to love it.
Yeah.
And you have to find the joy, and whether it's being with your teammates, whether it's finding the joy in training. And sometimes it's going to stick it sometimes, but it's just loving just the time you have while you're here and being grateful again for it. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I would say my brother is actually probably one of my biggest idols, biggest motivations. He's my younger brother, but as I told you, he tore his ACL, so he's redshirting this year, and that kind of put things into perspective for him. He's going to use this year to be, you know, the best teammate he can be, work on, you know, being mentally tough, working on those mental skills, and just, yeah, being there, showing up for his teammates, and yeah, that put things into perspective for me. I've been fortunate enough, I've never had an injury like that before, where I've been out for, he's going to be out for almost a year. It's a pretty long recovery time for ACL, but I'm just very, very lucky to be doing what I'm doing. And it's my last year too, ever. I'm a senior, so it's bittersweet.
No, and it's been a great 4-year ride, and we can't wait. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but talk to us about your recruitment process, especially during the middle of the pandemic. Like that was a whole tricky process. So what did that look like for you?
Sure. So I remember I wanted to go to a school close by. So, you know, some of those schools in the Big East Conference and Connecticut schools as well. And so I came on my Seton Hall visit pretty late in my senior year. It was like February. I'd still been deciding between a couple schools. And I remember it came on my recruiting trip. We went to the basketball game, met with the entire team. And, you know, as you guys know, you've been on recruiting trips before. One thing that stuck out to me from all the other schools was culture. Like, you can see it as soon as, you can feel it as soon as you walk into a room.
Right.
And I knew I loved it, and I loved the facility, love how close it is to home. It's an hour and a half, which is pretty good. And, yeah, it's been great. It's a Catholic university, too. I'm pretty strong in my faith, so that's also been something that's allowed me to, you know, keep going with that.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to touch on your faith later on this episode for sure. Was, I had a quick question going back. Was it Amelia who was a senior?
Yes. Yeah.
Did she have any connection with the recruiting process at all?
So, yeah. I mean, I told her, hey, I reached out to your coach, blah, blah, blah. And she was very helpful in being honest with me and what she liked
Huge.
About the school.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, her thoughts on it. And she's a really good friend. I still hang out with her to this day. But she was definitely, I talked to her a lot about my decision in coming here. And
awesome.
So she was really helpful.
Yeah, Amelia is awesome. She was a senior my
sophomore year.
Also beat her in Lake League swimming this year. Sorry, Amelia.
Oh.
Sorry. Aquatic Piranhas is keeping
left
on
field that one.
Sorry, had to put that out there. But talking about the Seton Hall swim team, what is the women's Seton Hall swim and dive team? Like, you kind of touched upon it about this year alone, talking about accountability, but
yep.
Well, how would you describe the women's swim and dive team here?
I would say we're like a big family. I live with 4 other girls. I'm Natalie, Nicole, Isabella, and Allie, and love them to death. But, you know, a lot of us have classes together. We eat together. You know, we're in the same house together, and we swim and live together. So we're seeing each other a lot,
mm-hmm.
just like you would a normal family. So we are all, I would say we're pretty close. Whether you know, I'm hanging out with every single person every single day or not, which I'm not. I still feel that, you know, that friendship, that, you know, trust with all of them. So it's been great.
That is for sure. And like one of the things that you guys do really well is having those, when we have Saturday morning practice in September, they set up a breakfast every year, whether it's in January or in the fall, where they all come together and they cook, I think this year was like eggs and pancakes and stuff like that. And they come together as one team. So describe some of those other bonding activities that you guys do and how that impacts the team.
Sure. So, you know, we try and introduce these every year just as a way to bring each other together, to get to know each other, especially, you know, freshmen, transfers, and to just set the tone for the year and keep the energy up and the camaraderie up. We're not all going to be best friends, but, you know, we should care about each other, and we want each other to succeed. So these activities help that. One of my favorite ones we've done for the past 2 years, we do it usually before our mid-season meet in West Virginia. So that's November 16th, I believe, this year.
Yep.
And it's an activity where we take a bunch of different note cards. So they're like huge flashcards. We all write our names on them. And, you know, we sit down, we've chatted, had some snacks. And the goal is to have anonymous messages written on all of these cards from every single teammate. So we pass the cards around, and every single member of the women's team is going to sign my card that says Leia with some message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice. It's uplifting. It's a way to see, you know, like, your teammates support you. They care about you. And
it's really cool to see. Like, I've gotten to see a couple of them, and they're just terrific. And it's just so uplifting. Right before, is mid-season's that, like, kind of that benchmark. You think of it like halfway through maybe a baseball year,
sure.
or maybe when you start Big East play, actually.
Sure, okay.
That's the benchmark. You got through your non-conference play. You kind of know where you're at in the U.S. type of deal. Now you're going to play with the big boys in conference play.
Sure.
That's kind of us. We've gotten our couple dual meets out of the way, but now we're heading to mid-season, and we're putting on suits. We're doing prelim final. We're traveling 6 hours there and back.
Yeah.
Like, here's where our first bench line is. So having those uplifting messages to go through that before that time is huge. It's so cool to see.
And I think you were talking about the energy earlier,
yeah.
and within a swim meet, but within like a season, like, you have the first half of the season, mm-hmm. and to continue the energy going on, having a cool like activity like that, I don't want to say activity, but
yeah,
it's
an activity. Yeah.
Having something like that where I'm getting like a lot of really cool positive feedback mm-hmm. from your own teammates, that brings up energy too, whether you realize it or not, in a different way, but that's really important. Like, midway through a season, you're grinding it out, and mm-hmm. it'll uplift you a little bit more.
100%, and it's also a confidence boost too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I bet.
Reminder,
that's awesome.
Yeah, my teammates care about me. I'm powerful. I'm strong. I'm awesome. Like, you
right.
know, these words of affirmation.
100%.
And it also helps us, it helps remind us that, you know, the biggest thing that we each have to bring to the table is ourselves. Like, we are our most valuable assets. So
right.
it's really great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you touched upon it a little bit before about your transition from high school, well, club swimming to college swimming. What was that like? Do you have any more details on that other than just the team aspect of things?
Sure, yeah. So there was definitely more of an accountability aspect that I had to work on. You know, there's not going to be reminders for homework and,
mm-hmm.
you know, coach sending, oh, practice is this time, this week. You have to be independent, organized, and, yeah, hold yourself accountable in schoolwork, in practices, and, yeah, especially, like, going out of your comfort zone, trying to get to know people on the team, especially as a shyer freshman. I feel like something Seton Hall gave me was confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm a more confident person, better swimmer, better student, you know, better in my career stuff. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
How did the training look different between your club team and here? Was it a big jump?
Big jump. So, so Jason, my club coach, he's great, but we did a lot of practices together. So we would do those distance sets, those long yardage sets, where as here I'm training specific to my events that I swim here, so sprint focused. But yeah, on my club team, I did a lot of distance, a lot of 4 IMs, 5 frees, you know, a lot of longer.
Oh yeah, the good stuff.
The aerobic stuff, the stuff I need to do. So yeah, it was definitely a transition coming and focusing more on, you know, what I can contribute to. Like, I'm definitely not a good 500 swimmer. You know, training that in my club team helped me work on that aerobic component. But I think, you know, locking in and switching gears to this is what I'm going to train because this is what I'm going to compete in my career, it was very cool. And we still get those longer practices in, but
mm-hmm.
nothing like a club team practice. So when I go back and, you know, for Thanksgiving break or holiday break and I swim with them, it's kind of kicks me. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah.
Well, no. See, that's where I differ from Leia. I'm like the mid-distance, so I can dabble a little bit in sprint, I dabble a little bit in distance, and I'll be okay. Like, but
yeah, going from sprint to long distance is the difference, yeah.
But, yeah, so talk to us about how does head coach Derek Sapp kind of split that up for you? What does a practice week look like here? Ben Endersby. But what does that look like for you? Like, how do you train every week?
Sure. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have doubles. So there's morning swim, morning dry land, and then afternoon swim, afternoon lift. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. With Friday, we don't have dry land in the morning. And then Tuesday, Thursday, we have swim in the afternoon. And I've been rotating between doing sprint practices, which is fast, up-tempo focused, and stroke practice, which is like longer, more 200 pace. And it's been a good split. I unfortunately have class conflicts this year, so I've had to lift at different times, which, really tests my self-motivation lifting an empty weight room, but it's been good. I've done it before, and
I remember this little story. We got to bring this back up. It was hilarious.
I know.
So, was this last year?
Last year, yeah.
Okay, so the baseball team lifted at, was it 7? Mm-hmm. Or it was 7 a.m., and Leia was always in there before us, right?
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have all the racks. Leia had a rack.
Yeah.
And for all the student-athletes, there's five, or for non-student-athletes either, there's five racks on one side, and there's five racks on the other side. And Leia had the one away. No, you were on the mirror. This was. You were on the one facing the mirror. And I'm going to rattle my baseball guys a little bit. Sorry, boys. There's two guys last year that love to squat looking at the mirror because, like, they have all these racks on and all that. So they were so confused when Leia was on their rack, quote, unquote. So what they did, and if I'm telling the story right, you can correct me. You were doing some other set while that. They moved all of her stuff over to the other side of the rack.
So like, so left, like, funny.
We just moved you. We just moved you. Leia was really cool about it and whatnot.
I was like,
but
okay,
but deep down inside, she was like, way that's happening.
Like,
so,
I like to squat
ahead.
In the mirror too. Yeah. You know, I look at my form and make sure my knees are okay. It was fine.
It was so funny. But I remember that story, and I remember getting afterwards. I don't remember exactly the complication of, like, guys, I don't think that was the right thing to do in that situation.
Oh, it's fine. I mean, it's all of you, like, your whole team lifting, so I'm the one intruding, but it was funny.
No, it was funny because there was five of the racks on the other side. Like,
a little panic.
Yeah.
We need a rack.
I just remember I had a perfect view. I was looking, like, back from, like, the dumbbell section, looking at this. They, like, went here, like this, like that. That was just a little side note.
I remember that looters, too, because you guys sometimes are like my biggest cheerleaders when I remember
doing pull-ups. I remember
like weighted pull-up sets.
Right.
It's hard. I mean, I know when I graduate, when I'm done swimming, I'm not in that team environment. I'm going to have to work out on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be in a weight room with a whole team of girls cheering me on every single rep.
Right.
But it was cool to have you guys sometimes when I'm struggling to make that final rep and I hear you in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
thanks for that.
To give some props to baseball guys after we just ratted on them. I think we all respect that you're in there by yourself lifting hard. Like, it wasn't like you were just
goofing off.
Like, you were really, like, working hard and whatnot, and doing weighted pull-ups, which are not easy. So respect to you for that.
Thank you.
So bringing it back to your senior season, what are some things that you're looking forward to upcoming this senior season, or some things that already have happened that you've gotten to do in your senior year?
That's a good question. Well, you know, being as this is my last year competitive swimming, like, ever, I think every single meet that we have, every single fun practice is like, oh, this is my last one of this ever. So, you know, our upcoming home meet, which is tomorrow, this is my last first home meet ever. So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, like, every single aspect of it. All the dual meets, the really long dual meets, mid-season, Big East, you know, even lift. I lift by myself. Meredith Mutter on the swim team with me.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. She swims and lifts with me when we have our class conflicts. Even some of that stuff, you know, it's, you know, we're in the grind now. We're tired, sore, like swamped with schoolwork, but I'm going to miss all of this. So I guess what you were asking, what I'm looking forward to the senior year, just, you know, savoring every single part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss it a lot.
Yeah, and we can attest to that being
the
grandpas,
the
grandpas, old man, the dinosaurs, which one are we going to do? Whatever we're called.
All the above.
But
out of the field, bang!
I think we can both attest to that. Like, it's going to be something that we miss because we've had the opportunity to have it for 5 years,
right.
But now that it's coming to a close, it's like, what are we going to do?
Really grateful for the extra year. You have no idea. It's like, wow, it could have been over last year, and now we're able to have this last year here.
Yeah, so we're definitely grateful. One of the really cool things in part of your swimming career is that you got to compete on the national level. You got the opportunity to compete for Lebanon in the 2021 FINA World Championships out in Abu Dhabi. Ooh, what did that journey look like?
Wow. So I'm really, really grateful to have had that opportunity. So I'm a Lebanese citizen. Both of my parents were born there, and you know, I have a lot of family out there still. So, you know, we're traveling there most years, seeing my family. And as I got older, and I knew, like, I love swimming. I want to compete at the collegiate level.
Mm-hmm.
I got the opportunity to compete for Lebanon's national team. And for some context, Lebanon's a very small country, smaller than Connecticut, which is, you know, where I'm from.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Very small. It's populated, but a small country. And, you know, the talent pool isn't as big there for swim. So, yeah, I'm grateful to have been given that opportunity, along with the other talented swimmers from Lebanon. And, yeah, there was a time standard or a certain number of points I had to reach, and then I was selected to compete for the World Championships. And that was a really, really cool experience.
Yeah.
Out in Abu Dhabi, and, yeah, it was great.
Now, going into that before, you had to time trial in Puerto Rico, right?
Yes.
And then was that the final time trial that you had to then qualify, or was there more after that?
So this was Puerto Rico, I think, May of 2021. Mm-hmm. So one of my biggest goals was to be able to compete for Lebanon in the Olympics. And as you know, COVID 2020, so the Olympics were pushed to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I went to Puerto Rico hoping to qualify for the Olympics. And you have to reach a certain number of FINA points. So mm-hmm. the time that you go in your race correlates to a certain number of points. And gosh, I remember, I competed in my event in Puerto Rico. Beautiful facility. Mm-hmm. I had an amazing experience there.
Yes, I remember the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My dad's my biggest cheerleader. He comes with me to all of it. He came with me to Abu Dhabi, Puerto Rico.
Awesome.
I love him. So anyway, he came with me. I remember I swam the 100 free, and I time trialed it maybe four times after that because I hadn't gotten the time. And I was like, all right, we're going to have at it again, again, again. I'm here for a couple more days. So let me swim it as many times as possible and hopefully make these certain amount of points and represent Lebanon in the Olympics, which would be pretty cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that didn't happen, unfortunately, but it was still a really, really good experience. And even, thinking back, being able to try and compete for that I did that. And, granted, it's a really small number of people I'm mm-hmm. competing against. The girl who went, she's fantastic, very talented, but it's not as competitive as the U.S. Like, I don't have U.S. trial cuts, so it's funny to think, I might have been representing the Olympics for this country, but I'm still grateful for it nonetheless. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, what a cool experience, Lee, to go there and experience that. Like, the percentage of swimmers that ever get to taste that is so mm-hmm. small. And I remember, I think it was on LinkedIn, I saw something, and I was like, what a cool thing is that. Representing your country, at a national event like that, that is so neat. So really cool that opportunity.
It's awesome to see and awesome to look at the pictures while it was going on. What was that like competing in a different country? Because I've never gotten to do that. You've got to do in two different – well, Puerto mm-hmm. Rico is considered a U.S. island.
So,
but
nice
still,
try there, Justin.
out of the country, though, still, the farthest I've been with Seton Hall from home, which is New Jersey, is probably West Virginia. That's the farthest I've ever swam. But you got to travel across the world. What was that like?
Yeah. So such a cool experience. Even the hotel that we had been in, like Team Lebanon, I had swam with some other people on the Lebanese national team, mm-hmm. great friends of mine. But it was very, very cool to be in this country, to explore different things, like go out during the day, see different cool sights. And then, it's kind of a little bit of pressure. I'm not going there thinking I want to place this certain place here and do this certain time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already here and it's for fun at this point because the talent that's there, I'm swimming against the fastest people in the entire world. So it's funny to think that me, coming from Seton Hall, I'm representing Lebanon at this huge, huge world event.
Right.
But it's very cool to see the world-class athletes. I saw U.S. national team members, got a picture with a couple of them.
Of course.
So cool. Yeah, these are the people we look up to. And it was just cool that I was able to swim in the same pool as these swimmers who are my idols. So
speaking of which, did you get to meet any of your idols?
I saw Michael Andrew there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was funny. I was warming up in a lane with him, but had to go fast so they wouldn't laugh me. But I spoke briefly, getting pictures, but nothing more than that.
It's still a great experience overall.
Yeah. Is there only you may have mentioned this, I just missed it. Is there only one representative from Lebanon that goes?
So,
or how does that work?
Yeah. So for the FINA World Championships, it was two girls and two boys.
Okay, got it.
Yes, it was me, a girl named Marie. She went.
Got it.
Yeah, and two boys, and it was really fun.
Super cool.
Yeah, we roomed together. She's really great. She lives in Lebanon, so she's from Lebanon.
Okay.
So yeah, part of something that's cool about being on the national team, you know, because I'm a citizen and my family's there, I'm able to compete like and try and get in the ranks along with these people that are from Lebanon, you
sure.
know, swimmers that are
sure.
from there. So I'm very grateful that they allowed me to do that, and it's great.
And I remember you said, like, you mentioned the Olympics. Would that be something moving forward you try to do again, like in 2024?
Four,
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Summer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, because I, you know, I had that in my head. Hey, if I'm gonna do it, it would be for Lebanon. Like, I don't want to be. I was overly optimistic. Oh, maybe I'd make a U.S. trials cut. Where I'm at in my career, you know, thinking logically, it would be for Lebanon for sure. And yeah, 2024 would be my last shot. And I say, like, why not try? So
sure. Yeah, why not?
You know? So
that'd be awesome.
That'd be super cool. Like, we know her. She was on the podcast.
Oh my
gosh. She was on the podcast.
Yeah. And after that in 2021, it was a little bit of a, I mean, it was a bummer. It was a bit disappointing, but I had to remind myself, like, my value is not coming from if I make this cut or not, if I'm going to represent Lebanon at the Olympics or not. Like, it doesn't make me any better of an athlete. Sure, it would have been a very cool experience, but, you know, I'm still a good athlete. My parents still love me. Like, my value's still there, so I had to remind myself of that.
It's good self-talk,
Of course, but you now get to say that I got to compete for this, which is an amazing experience as a whole.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the academic side of the thing at Seton Hall, because, of course, we're Seton Hall student-athletes. You're a financial mathematics major. You worked with Quest Diagnostics over the summer. You recently got to attend the Women's Sports Foundation Athlete Leadership Conference. You're the SAC president, which we kind of touched upon earlier, and you got to do some research shadowing with option pricing. So talk to us about your major so far and what you've really gotten to learn.
Sure. So I actually started off as a biochemistry major.
Mm-hmm.
So think like you, Justin, right? You're a biochemistry?
Oh, yeah. Big bio guy.
Yep. Big science guy. So, yeah, I started off biochemistry. I've had it in my head maybe since I was in first grade. I remember doing a project. What do you want to be when you grow up? Pediatrician. Like,
got it.
I've always wanted to be a doctor. I don't know why that came in from such an early age. But, yeah, so came in as biochemistry and – thought I wanted to go to med school. I want to help people. Like, helping people makes me feel good. Let me be a doctor. I realized I didn't like it after the courses I had been taking, and I couldn't see myself doing it in the future. It wasn't something I was passionate about. The aspect I liked was I could help people with this career. But yeah, I quickly realized, especially after organic chemistry, which I hated. Tough class, as
tough
you know.
Class.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
Not
no,
for us.
Not for us. But I knew it wasn't something I wanted to do, so I made the switch. I remember, like, exactly when I had made the switch, too.
Got
it was during final season, a year and a half into school. So it was my sophomore year, fall semester finals. My dad had called me. I was in the library studying for my orgo final. He was like, how's it going? You know, we're just catching up, as we do. And he goes, are you happy? Like, how's life going? Are you happy?
Right.
And I was like, yeah. I mean, I hate all of my classes, but other than that, he goes, you know, you're supposed to like them a little bit. And I was like, oh, no. I mean, it's biochem. Like, everyone doesn't, nobody likes their classes, right? And he goes, yeah, but, you know, you should be a little bit interested in what you're doing and see yourself in the future.
Right.
You know, doing some of this stuff. And I just knew from there, like, I need to switch. Like, no one cares if I'm going to be a doctor. No one cares what I'm going to do, right? So let me do something that I know I'm passionate about and I can see myself doing in the future. So I knew I loved math, and I'm also good at math, and I wanted to combine it with finance, you know, fast-paced, fun, exciting, working with numbers, and I've been financial math ever since, and I love it.
So what did you get to learn this summer with the stuff that you have learned through Seton Hall now getting to work with Quest over this past summer?
Yes, I'm very, very grateful I had that experience. It was at their headquarters in Secaucus, New Jersey, so I was able to stay here over the summer and swim, you know, wake up, swim with a club team early morning, you know, get dressed in the locker room, go with wet hair to work. And, yeah, it was my first internship experience ever. especially after having made that transition over to, you know, math and finance. And it was a really good experience. I came in nervous, you know, because I don't know literally anything. I've never had an internship before, never had an office job. And I learned, and this is a good lesson for me in the future, like, people don't expect you to know everything. So it was a really good learning experience. Yeah, did a lot of stuff with Excel, fun projects, met a lot of great, great people, great interns. Yeah, very cool experience.
Is that something you might want to pursue after college, like that type of atmosphere? Or is that something where, like, you took it and said it's a very great experience, but I think I want to go a different route?
So I liked, it was, you know, this internship was an entryway into their finance, like, leadership development program where I would be a financial analyst. I liked it. You know, it was good work. I'm, you know, in the process right now of applying to positions for next year. So keeping that in mind. And yeah, I mean, after having had that experience, it kind of solidified it for me. I want to do, like, I want to be in the financial field.
Right. Awesome.
That's amazing. So talk to us about that experience you had with Billie Jean King recently.
Wow.
With the Women's Sport Foundation Athlete Leadership. I got to meet her last spring when she came onto campus. Amazing person. She talked to us for about 45 minutes.
Wow.
And it was awesome. So talk to us about that experience.
So this was, wow, the most amazing conference I've ever been to. And Abby went, right?
Yeah, she went last year. Yeah, and she loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Wow. It was, like, it was just amazing, amazing. I went with Madeline Matheny on women's volleyball.
Nice.
And so we went together. We took the 6:50 a.m. train from South Orange to Morgan Stanley in the city. It was, you know, easy commute there. And it was such an amazing conference. I met different athletes from a bunch of different Division I programs across the U.S., and it's funny, I had met some swimmers from Fairfield University.
Oh,
actually.
Really? That's awesome.
And we had mutual friends. I was like, oh my God, you know this person, this person. So very, very cool. And yeah, wow, Billie Jean King. I had never heard her speak before.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually turning 80 soon. And
oh, wow. I had
no
idea.
She is turning 80
gosh.
Soon. And at the end of the conference, they did a live podcast recording, and she was on it. And boy, does she not look or speak like she's 80.
At all.
She
yeah.
has so much energy and charisma, and
yep.
she like lightened up the room, and she was laughing, cracking jokes. It was amazing, amazing to be around her.
That's what, when she came here, same thing, just livened up the room.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and her whole presentation to us was just awesome. And everyone that got to sit, we got to ask her a few one-on-one questions. I think a couple students did. I remember the tennis team got to be with her and present her a jersey. So she awesome person. Awesome
That's
person.
Really cool.
So if you ever get to meet her, Jonathan, do. Like,
yeah.
If you ever see an opportunity, go, because amazing person, 100%. Amazing wisdom that she has. Talk to us about being the Student Athlete Advisory Committee president.
Woo-hoo.
We got the president in the house.
Yes, we do.
What are some of your responsibilities, and what are some of your goals as the president?
Sure. So in SAC, we're trying to promote the well-being of all student athletes, and we have a focus on diversity, equity, and inclusivity initiatives, and just making Seton Hall a better place for all our athletes. And it's really exciting. We just actually finished up our DEI week, which was, I think, last week, 2 weeks ago, and that was it was the diversity and inclusivity campaign for all of NCAA, and we had some fun stuff here at Seton Hall. You know, posters and refuel. We had a big banner, I Belong Because, you know, trying to put an emphasis on why every single athlete belongs here at Seton Hall. And we also have a video that's coming out soon. So
excited for that. That's
very
gonna be
excited.
Very excited for that.
Yeah, I was when you guys posted in the group meeting, say, hey, share with your team, we're doing a video, and I come by. I'm like, all right, I'm coming by. And I think it was a very, like, I was like, I belong because,
I belong because, yep.
And I went to go do it, and for a shameless pitch, I think maybe like 3 or 4 times to do it. I'm like, this is such a simple thing.
Yeah.
Why can't I get it one shot?
You did it too. You participated in the video, right?
I took like 4 shots. Like, actually, like, I don't know why I belong.
It's nice because it, like, it prompts thought too.
Yeah.
When you're
thinking, absolutely.
You know, I participated in the video too. I was like, why not? You know,
yeah.
Making this initiative. And I had to think, like, what am I supposed to say? Why do I belong?
Right.
And then, yeah, it starts a conversation, which is the whole point of the campaign. So
right.
We're really excited for that to come out. And we have a lot of cool stuff that we're planning with Zach and, you know, Hannah's vice president. We have Mark Wallier, Amy Kugelman, Quinn Murtha. They're a great e-board, and we're working together to make this the best year possible.
Awesome. And I know from all the stuff in the group meet that you guys have so much good content, and shout out to Tatum and also Roberto. He's working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And like, it seems like you're really like stepping it up this year, and it seems awesome from the outside looking in. So keep up the really good work there.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
Yeah. I know we're kind of like running out of time, mm-hmm. low key, but I want to touch to you about your faith, what that looks like, Seton Hall being a Catholic institution. What your faith mean to you?
Sure. So it's always been important to me growing up. Grew up in a pretty religious family. So, you know, church on Sundays. But something that kind of transformed my faith for me was during the pandemic. You know, we weren't able to swim. School was weird. Yeah, it was hard figuring out where I wanted to go to school, what I wanted to do. And so that was just the turning point for me of, you know, developing really strong faith. And someone that really helped me with that, of course, my parents, but my brother, you know, he has one of the strongest faiths out of anybody that I know to this day. Mm-hmm. And so having him, like my friend, my brother, we're pretty close in age. He's 2 years younger than me. Being like, hey, like, you're going to get through this. Like, let's do this. Or, hey, you should read this. I sent it to you. He is like one of my biggest role models, especially in the faith aspect. And being at a Catholic university, it's great. I have the church here.
Right.
I have a big group of friends that, you know, also practice their faith with me.
Yeah.
And we have a big Sunday brunch group that we go after we went to church together. So, yeah, it's been really great.
What a cool thing that your brother is like kind of like your really close friend in accountability partner or whatnot in your faith, like to help you grow and you help him grow. And with all the swimmers that you have here with the group of bunch, like what a cool way to grow within outside of the swimming aspect, to grow with your teammates in a faith aspect, which is very
Definitely.
Unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that it's helped me with. I remember like church maybe 3 weeks ago, something I heard that's really, really stuck with me. It was during the homily, you know, the priest was talking about in your faith and coming to church, like, don't just show up. Like, Jesus, God doesn't want us to just show up, just go through the motions of praying. And I, hearing that, I was like, oh my gosh, this applies to literally every single thing in my life.
Right.
Swim, like, don't just show up. Bring the energy. Like, cheering, don't just show up. Don't just stand up. Be loud. Be energetic.
Right.
Schoolwork, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is great. So it's something I've been repeating to myself.
Yeah. And I think, like, do you go to the church on campus or other churches around the area?
So, yeah, there's a church, like, 2 minutes away. It's Our Lady of Sorrows, but
Perfect.
I go to both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a bunch of churches, like, in the South Orange area.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's funny. Like, I live right across from one on 3rd Street, and a bunch of the guys go in the morning. And sometimes the guys can't go in the morning. They go at night after practice, the one on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the availability to go to so many different religious masses is really, really cool.
That's
so
great.
It's awesome you have the opportunity.
Yeah, and especially having friends, like, swimmers too, who are
right.
coming to the mass with us, and it's just a great group.
Yeah, growing in different ways, both in the pool and out of the pool. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's important. That's the part of the college experience, and growing in many different ways, whether that's faith, academically, athletically, and that's something that you really touched upon here throughout our episode here. So to wrap things up, we're going to start with our last two segments here. Our first one being advice to a pirate, and I think this one kind of hits home with us, the old grandpas, and the senior in the room. So
not
as
that one down.
As a senior in college, and as a senior college athlete to be specific, give us some advice to fellow senior athletes that are in their final season, ready to depart Seton Hall.
Sure. So, I mean, obviously, don't take any moment for granted. You know, it's going by so fast. If you're a senior, it's your last year. Savor it. And also, kind of with what we just talked about, don't just show up. It's your last year.
Right.
In everything that you do, put your full effort, your full energy, be fully present, and just, you know, like, maximize your experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
yeah, for sure. And that's, I think, something we've touched upon a little bit here,
100%.
Maximizing that experience, even just starting something like this. So we're excited to keep
Love it.
Going forward with this. So last segment, I hope you're ready.
Oh, goodness.
Walk the plank. These are going to be shorter length questions. Obviously, if you have an explanation, please give us that explanation. Now, there's this piece of paper that I wrote out earlier today that that behind the scenes, Leia has been stressed about this paper the whole entire time. I'm gonna slide it over to you. Do not open it yet. You'll know when to open it when I ask the question. Okay, first one. Favorite snack while working. Mm-hmm. Like grapes. Doing homework. Grapes. Red, green.
Green, crunchy grapes. Yeah. Okay.
Knew right away. No hesitation.
I'm a red grape guy. We differ on that one. Favorite pre-meat song. It could be two or three. It doesn't have to just be one. Or a genre.
Genre. I like rock.
Rock.
Yeah, classic rock.
There we go.
Yep.
Like to hear that.
Love that.
Now, this one might be a little controversial in the Istanbuli household. Who is your favorite sibling?
I didn't read it beforehand. Oh my gosh.
I can't answer that. Danny and Julia.
Even both the same. Okay, that's fair.
I can't answer that.
Okay, this one's from Walker. Now, you might kill me because I'm going to ask it. Do you think Julia will ever catch your club times?
100%.
Yeah?
100%. Wow. She's taller than me. She has better attitude than I did at her age. She's an extremely hard worker. I hope, you know, usually you're not like, oh, I hope this person beats everything I've done and mm-hmm. does better. But her, I'd love her to, you know?
Okay, I can't wait to watch 100%. It now. You've gotten me hyped
you're
up.
You're so nice to your sibling. So nice. I'm going to love that.
All right, this is the one you can open up the card. Rank these musicals. La La Land, Grease, Mamma Mia, Moulin Rouge, and Sound of Music.
Oh,
1 to
gosh.
5.
I'm a big musical. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
I can't
best of
pick,
luck.
But what? All right. I'll have to go. This is hard.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All right. La La Land or Mamma Mia are at the top.
No, it's got to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Damn.
Not tied all right, for all right. first here.
Mamma
Come
Mia
on.
1, La La Land 2.
Uh-huh.
Sound choices. Of Music 3, Grease 4, Moulin Rouge 5.
Okay. See, that wasn't too bad.
That was so hard.
Deep exhale.
Jeez.
The note has been looked at.
Yeah.
All right. Best road trip taken with the team. Could be Seton Hall team, could be personal travels like going across the world.
I would say West Virginia my sophomore year.
Okay. That's
a
favorite
meet.
Trip. Very
yeah.
good meet, yeah. At what temperature is it okay to break out the parka?
So this is uncontroversial because I've worn it early this year, you know, when it was still hot out in the morning. I would say anything under 60. Especially in the morning,
okay.
you know? Yeah.
Okay.
For reference here, all the baseball guys wonder where the swim guys get in the girls, get these parkas. Like, we're walking to lift too.
Yeah.
We don't have parkas.
They're my favorite thing. I wear them during the meet. One thing that just is so hard is being cold when you're on deck.
Right.
You need to stay
yeah,
warm. Put
yeah,
your shoes
that
on,
makes
put your
sense.
Pants on. Those parkas are great.
Yeah.
It was a great addition to the
yeah.
wardrobe last year. Go-to movie/show that you watched on the plane while traveling to Abu Dhabi?
La La Land.
La La Land?
Yep. That's like
go-to?
My top 5 favorite movies ever. And I love musicals. You had it right there mm-hmm. on that piece of paper. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Best advice your parents have given you through college?
I would say don't take yourself so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God has a plan. You know, keep your faith strong. Trust in him and everything's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Last one from me. Describe your swimming style.
So I'm a sprinter, so I would just say go out hard
mm-hmm.
and try not to die.
Fair enough. Try not to die.
I don't have the best
That's
endurance.
All dash.
Yeah.
Go out hard, try not to die.
Yep, all dash, one word.
Love
yeah.
that.
Perfect. That will do it for me as we wrap it up here. So, Jonathan, take it from here.
We want to make this a podcast where we highlight all the really good student athletes, and it's athlete number 10, guest number 11
yes,
with Ange
yeah.
there. And thank you for being who you are in the pool, out of the pool, in the community, academically, all facets. You're a really, really good representative of Seton Hall University. And
thank you guys.
Thank
so
you for being
much.
Who you are and mm-hmm. keep doing it. We'll be following.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will be following. And last, I lied, last thing for me, I'm going to really quick quote. We talked to assistant coach Andrew LeBlanc. Earlier today, he had a couple things to say that I kind of want to pass down to you. She's a natural leader. She wants to lead by example and learn how to lead. She's passionate about supporting the women's team and uplifting her fellow Pirates. If she ever comes to me for advice, I always know she's not just looking for someone to tell her what to do or mindless feedback. but engage in active back and forth discussion. And we kind of went through that this whole episode today. So
yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for coming on today for episode 11, which is in the books. It will come out on Monday. We're excited for more content coming out from Justin Ostrich, Jonathan Luters, and Leah Istanbuli. Have a great evening, everybody.